Thank you so much, Chloe, Caroline, Shannon. I know you can hear it. Listen, that's all these people clapping. That's all the clapping you're hearing, all the people who are saying amen and just how thankful we are that you shared that beautiful song with us. That's probably one of the greatest songs of freedom that there is, Amazing Grace. That is certainly a testament to the freedom that we share and the freedom that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for sharing that with us this morning. I heard a cute story just this last couple of weeks that I thought was very interesting. It's the story of this little granddaughter, this little grandchild, who had climbed up into her granddaddy's lap, and she was sitting there kind of looking up at him, gazing at his face, and she was seeing his old face and all the wrinkles and all the crevices and all the age spots that we're all tending to get as we get older. So she was looking up at her granddaddy, and she looked up at him and she said, Grandpa, did God make you? And he looked down at his little granddaughter and he said, well, yes, honey, God did. God made me. And so she sat there a little while longer, gazing up at him and looking at him for another minute or two. And then after a little bit, she said to him, Grandpa, did God make me? Granddaddy said, yes, darling, yes, God made you. God made you not very long ago, as a matter of fact. God made you too. The granddaughter continued to sit on her granddaddy's lap, looking up at his face and looking at the wrinkles and the age that was showing there on his face. And after a little while, she said, Grandpa, God's getting better at making people, isn't he? Yeah. She would probably say that about me too, I would imagine. I imagine one of these days Hudson or Eli is going to look up at me and say something similar to that. If there's one benefit that we have to this time when we're having to wear masks, you know, you're expected to wear a mask when you go out in public, you're expected to wear a mask when you go into a restaurant or into a store. If there's a benefit to that fact that we're wearing these masks is that those of us who are aging, those of us who are starting to get a lot of those wrinkles and a lot of those age spots that are showing up, we at least have a valid opportunity to hide it. We can hide it from people and people not see it, and we look just like everybody else because everybody else has also got one on too, so we don't look kind of weird doing that. My dermatologist calls those spots on your face or on your hands or whatever mature spots. They're not age spots. They're mature spots. Let me tell you, I call them wear and tear. They're just me aging and getting older, and certainly it happens to everybody as time goes on. You know, there's a lot of talk right now about wearing masks, always having these masks on lately. Masks that not only help us to not spread germs, which is a very important thing right now in our society. We certainly don't want to make anyone around us sick or to get sick from anyone else. But we've always had a tendency to kind of use masks in many ways in our lives. Masks can also be used to hide our identity. You know, Halloween's a long way off, or it seems like it, but it'll be here in a couple of minutes. But when we go to Halloween and our kids and our grandkids go out, what do? They wear masks. They use them to kind of hide themselves and kind of hide their identity. We also use masks to maybe hide our reaction to something. Our reaction to something we've seen or something going on around us. I remember back when I was a kid, several times, and it didn't happen every day, but several times my oldest brother would come to pick me up from school. It usually wasn't him, it was one of my other brothers, but occasionally my oldest brother would come and get me from school, and he always wanted to go to a convenience store after school on the way home and have me go inside for him and buy him a Coca-Cola, a Coke. Now, I didn't really mind doing it, although I thought it was pretty stingy that he wouldn't buy me anything. He just wanted me to go in and do it for him, but I would do it. We would stop at the store and I would go inside. And one day I thought, I'm going to play a funny trick on him. So I went inside and I bought his Coke just like he wanted me to. And before I came back outside to the car, I took his Coke and I shook it. I shook it and I shook it and I shook it and I shook it for probably 30 seconds. Shook it as hard as I could shake it. Then I hurried back out to the car and I handed him the Coke and I sat there and waited. I waited for what was going to happen. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't even expecting what happened. I thought it might dribble a little bit. He turned the cap just a little bit on that bottle and the cap came flying off and the whole bottle of Coke, all but maybe a little in the bottom, spewed out just everywhere, all over us, all over his car, everywhere. Now, my brother was mad. Now, he wasn't mad at me because he didn't know what I had done on the inside. But you know what I did? I covered my face. I covered my face because I didn't want him to see me laughing. I knew if he saw me laughing, he would know I was the one who had caused that. So I covered my face to cover my reaction, to make sure he didn't see exactly what was going on and what I had done to him by shaking up his Coke in that way. We cover our face a lot, if you think about it, with masks, with veils, with our hands. We cover our faces for lots of reasons, even to hide some characteristics about ourselves. Did you know that wearing a mask is even in the Bible? Did you know that there was even somebody in the Old Testament that wore a veil, a mask, in order to hide something from those who are around him? You remember Moses in Exodus chapter 34? When Moses went up onto the mountain, Mount Sinai, he went up there to gather or get the Ten Commandments from God. These commandments, this law that was etched on these stone tablets. And he went up there and he stayed in the presence of God for 40 days there on this mountain. And he came down and he brought these tablets with him, these stone tablets that had this law printed on him and all the commandments printed on them. And when he came back down, he had been in God's presence and the glory of God had shone upon him with so much radiance that Moses was shining. He was just shining with this glory, this reflection, almost as though God was the sun and Moses was the moon. And he was just shining with this great, bright reflection like a full moon shining to everybody, shining so brightly that the people who were seeing him were kind of afraid. They were kind of scared of what they were seeing. Whenever I read Exodus chapter 34, I always think about what it's going to be like. And I was talking to someone about this just a couple of days ago. What it's going to be like on that day when Jesus comes back. What's it going to look like when Jesus makes his way back into this world for his children? Can you imagine the brightness of his glory? We'll see him coming long before he gets here. It'll be like a sunrise that we've never even imagined before, coming up over the ocean, and the brightness of his glory as he comes, and he comes to be with us, and he comes to take us with him. Can you imagine that glory? Well, that's what Moses was in the presence of. He was in the presence of that glorious light. That's the glory that Moses saw, and that's the glory that was being reflected through the radiance there in Moses' face. And it was a little scary to the people who saw him. They were wondering, what was going on here? What was happening? So what did Moses do? He put on a mask. He covered his face. Now, I'm not sure Moses completely realized the significance of what he was doing there. I'm not sure he completely understood what it was going to mean in the whole scheme of things that he put on this veil and put on this mask to hide himself. Paul tells us, as we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning, Paul tells us, and you need to listen to this because this is really important. Paul tells us that Moses did this because Moses did not want people to see that this glory that was being reflected on his face was just temporary. Moses didn't want these people to see that the glory of God that was reflecting and shining from his face was just a temporary thing. It was an external glory. It was an glory that was destined to fade away. And Moses didn't want those people to see that glory as it faded from him. You see, Paul sees this veil or this mask that Moses was wearing as a symbol. Paul sees it as a symbol of the difference between the law, which Moses went up on the mountain to get, this old covenant, this old way of viewing God and this old way of viewing life. Paul saw it as a difference between this old covenant of viewing God as the law and the new covenant of grace. Amazing grace that the girls just sang about. A new covenant of grace found through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is significant for us. You may think, oh, he's just talking about the Ten Commandments. I've heard that preached on 50,000 times. Well, no, this is extremely significant for us in our lives, especially as we're thinking about our independence. And especially as we're celebrating this 4th of July here on this very weekend. Because unfortunately, I'm afraid that we can still try to live under that old covenant. We can still find ourselves trying to live under that old law and the old covenant instead of under the grace of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We still live with thoughts of inadequacy, don't we? Sure you do. I do. We still live with these remembrances of failures in the past. Sinful things that we know we've done that we shouldn't have done. Mistakes we've made that we wish we could shed. We're dragging around all this baggage that's just weighting us down, and we're dragging it with us because we don't understand how to let it go, how to turn loose of it. We try to make up for all these things that we've done, and we try to earn God's love. We try to earn God's salvation. All of this stuff is just living under the law. Plain and simple. It's living by this old covenant that Moses was living under. In this old covenant, living up to God's standards meant that this law that was carved in these stone tablets that Moses brought down out the mountain, that's how we had to live by. That's the rules that we had to follow, every single one of them, every day, all the time. If we wanted to share God's glory, it required absolute perfection. It required that we do it all within our own power to live up to everything God wants us to be. Now, let's be honest with each other. The couple of people in front of me and all the people out there, let's just be truthful with ourselves. Let's be truthful with each other. Let's be truthful with God. We can't do it. We can't. I can't. If you can and I can't, then maybe you need to stand here because I know I can't do it. Do any of us have the power to live our lives with that level of perfection, being that we're such fallible and fallen and sinful people? Of course not. Of course not. And if you're trying to, it's no wonder you're not living in freedom. If you're trying to, it's no wonder you're not living a life of confidence and a life of hope. Well, Paul knew we couldn't do it either. He knew without a doubt there was no way we could do this. So that's why Paul calls this old covenant a ministry that brought death. If you look in 2 Corinthians, I'm looking at chapter 3, and I'm just going to read to you two verses before the verses we're really looking at, verses 7 and 8. of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? We simply can't live up to God's level of expectations on our own. We cannot live up to the perfection of who God is, but we try. We try to do it. We drag that stuff around with us, and we try to do it as much as we can. And when we fail, what do? Well, we hide our faces. We put on our own masks. We put on our own veils, and we hide from those things that we know we just can't do on our own strength. The last thing we want is for someone else, especially someone else in the church, the last thing we want is for someone else to see God's glory fading from us. The last thing we want is for people to see that. So we hide behind this mask of our spirituality. We hide behind this mask of pretending to be something on the outside that we know we're really not on the inside. Because this glory of the law is this external glory, we know it's going to fade. And we have to hide that because we don't want people to see that. We need to recognize that if you're living like that, you don't know freedom. If you're living like that, you have no independence. You are a prisoner. Just like we just were praying. You are a prisoner. A prisoner to your inability to be good enough. A prisoner to the guilt that you feel and your sense of failure. And a life that's just filled with worry about your past and it coming back to haunt you maybe one day. That's the mask Moses was hiding behind right there. That's the mask that Moses put on. He knew God's glory of being in God's presence was going to fade because it was just an external radiance that was on the outside only in his life. He knew that he was human. He knew that he was fallible. He knew that he had failed, and he knew that it would fade. And that's what it's like to live under this old covenant, the old covenant of the law. It's a hopeless lifestyle. It's a hopeless thing, filled with condemnation. Then Paul gives us the good news. And that's what I really want you to hear. Paul gives us the good news that you don't have to live that way. There's a new covenant. Someone came and paid a big price for you to have a new way of life. A new covenant in your life. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We know the Lord is the Spirit. We all know that. We all are familiar with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know the Lord is the Spirit because we understand that as much as anybody can understand the Trinity, and that's a whole other topic. But we understand that the Spirit is the one who is with us. That is God who is with us, the great Comforter. If the Spirit lives in you, then Paul says, you have that freedom. You have the freedom that comes with the Spirit living in you because the glory of the Lord is not on the outside, some external force shining on you that you're just reflecting. The Spirit is inside you. And this glory of God comes from the inside of who you are. It's not something that you can cover with a mask. It's not something that's ever going to fade. It's something that transforms you. No mask is required by this. It's a glory that shines from your heart. And you can't even stop it. That's the Spirit of the Lord that lives within us. Verse 18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, listen to this, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Do you see the difference? Do you see the freedom? This isn't a glory that's going to fade. It's not a glory that comes from the outside. It's a glory that grows. It's a glory that grows within you from the Spirit. It's a glory that transforms your life. It's a glory that makes you look like Jesus. It's a glory that makes it so that other people see your light shining from you and see Jesus Christ. It's a glory where Chris Howe means nothing, Jesus means everything. It's a glory where you mean nothing, Jesus means everything. And people see that. People see Jesus in your life because Jesus comes from you. You are in this image of the Lord and being transformed into that image more and more every day. And you take on these wonderful characteristics of who Jesus is and who Jesus is in your life. Now, you want to talk about freedom? That's freedom. That's freedom to be instilled with that kind of glory in the Spirit in your life. Freedom not to be under this mask of condemnation that we can feel, dragging around this old stuff and this old luggage. Freedom to live with this confidence that you don't have to be perfect. You hear me? You don't. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. God recognizes our humanness. God recognizes our other than-ness. That's why Jesus came. God recognizes that we cannot do it. We cannot live under the law and ultimately be with Him. He had to send an intermediary, and that's why Jesus came. You can't walk past God's grace. You can't walk past God's forgiveness. You can't earn that grace. You can't earn that forgiveness. The Spirit lives in you, and because of that, you are free from those requirements. It's amazing, this grace. Otherwise, wouldn't we be able to say, well, God just set us up for failure? I mean, we made a mistake back in a garden a long time ago, and God set us up for failure. There's no way we could possibly attain this perfection that is required to be with the Lord. But He fixed it. He gave us our freedom. He gave us our independence. Are you living in that freedom? Are you letting your life be filled with that confidence and freedom in your life every day? You know, it's time to stop living under the law. It's time to stop. It's time to stop living in the bondage that we can tend to put ourselves in our lives every day. And we almost waltz ourselves into prison cells and close the door. It's time to stop living in this bondage of, and the bondage can come in all kinds of different ways. It's time to stop living in bondage of your financial situation, or in bondage of your health diagnosis, or in bondage of your job, or in bondage of relationship troubles, or in bondage of your past and or your mistakes or your sins that you have committed. It's time we tap into this freedom of the Spirit that lives in your heart, the Spirit that reveals this glory of God in you every day. I know you've heard the phrase, freedom isn't free. You've heard that phrase, I'm sure, and you've thought about it probably in various different ways in your life. But this freedom right here we're talking about, this freedom right here was definitely not free. Someone paid a dear price for you to have the opportunity to live in this freedom. Someone paid a dear price for you to have the chance to have that glory of that Spirit revealed in your life and live in this confidence and live in this freedom in your life. And we need to take advantage of that. We need to tap into that. We need to take advantage of that freedom that Christ has provided us and take that freedom and use that freedom for good. Use that freedom for others that we can serve. Use that freedom for living our lives in such a way that our life is a living testimony to everybody around us. Timothy said, preach the word with your life. To preach the word every day with your life, because you're allowing that glory to transform you every day in your life and be revealed to the world every day with how you live, with what you do, with the people you share with the ways that you help those in need, with the ways that you care for each other, with the ways that you accept everybody around you as another child of God who is around you. And on this Independence Day weekend, that's what we should celebrate. Our country's great. But we need to celebrate our freedom. Our freedom that we have in Christ. And tap into it. Take a look at it. Hold on to it. Recognize that glory. Stop putting on a mask and trying to cover it up. Let it be revealed. Let the law go. And let it be revealed every day in your life. Shed that bondage, those things that you've been dragging around in your life for so long in your life, and live this abundant life that God has paid for you to have every day in your life. And allow this glory of God, to transform you. It's a glory that you'll see one day when He comes again. It's a glory you'll see one day when you're right beside Him. But it's a glory that's in your heart. It's a glory that's that Spirit that lives in you from the inside out. Let it be shared. Be free. Live your life as one of God's children. That's what God wants for you and me. That's what He paid for. Let's have a prayer together, if you would. Father, we're so thankful for freedom. And that means so many things to so many people, God, but in this context, it is a freedom that lasts for eternity. It is a freedom that gives us a life that is abundant. It is a freedom that we can take hold of and tap into every day of our lives, every morning when we get up, every night when we go to bed. A freedom that exists because we have given our lives to Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God lives within us. So thank You for that freedom. Forgive us, God, for the masks that we wear. Help us to understand that if we tap into this freedom, those masks won't be required anymore. Thank You, Father, for the price You paid. And God, if there's one watching or one listening who is in bondage, who is imprisoned, who doesn't understand that freedom, open the doors, God. You had the key. Help them to see Jesus Christ. That's the key to release them from that bondage and freedom and to fill their hearts with that Spirit, that glory. Thank You, Father. Thank You for the price You paid for each one of us and for our freedom. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.